Chapter 5, The Declaration of the Rights of Man. In his encyclical letter, Tometzi, on Christ our Redeemer, November 1st, 1900, Pope Leo XIII said, quote, "About the rights of men, as they are called, the people have heard enough. It is time they should hear of the rights of God. The true rights of man are founded upon man's duty of tending to God in a way he has laid down. Thus the rights of man are based on the rights of God. In other words, mankind must again learn to look at all that concerns the world from God's side downwards, not from man's side upwards. This latter manner of looking at things, which has become so prevalent amongst Catholics since the 16th century, and which is so opposed to the Thomistic attitude, involves the danger of losing sight of the full meaning of life. Our range of vision is so restricted that from below we can see only a section at a time. In addition, the anti-Catholic deification of man has made a deeper impression on Catholics than many amongst them seem to realize. The simple, plain truth that God came down on earth to draw all mankind to him according to his divinely thought-out plan, and that, therefore, it cannot be well with the world if it revolts against him, seems to be something abstruse and profound even to Catholics. Yet, what can be more evident? But then, has the attitude towards our Lord, embodied in the constitutions and laws of countries, so completely changed since the 16th century? Yes. Listen again to the voice of Pope Leo XIII. Quote, "Sad it is to call to mind how the harmful and lamentable rage for innovation, which rose to a climax in the 16th century, threw first of all into confusion the Christian religion, and next, by natural sequence, invaded the precincts of philosophy, whence it spread amongst all classes of society. From this source, as from a fountainhead, burst forth all those later tenets of unbridled license which, in the midst of the terrible upheavals of the last century, were wildly conceived and boldly proclaimed as the principles and foundations of that new jurisprudence which was not merely previously unknown, but was at variance in many points with not only the Christian, but even the natural law." End of quote. Encyclical letter, Immortale Dei, on the Christian Constitution of States, November 1st, 1885. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the sole mediator of redeemed humanity. It is only by submission to his rule that all men and all nations can receive back the divine life of grace by which human life can be lived in order. Again quoting Pope Leo XIII's encyclical letter, Tometzi. "Never to have known Jesus Christ in any way is the greatest of misfortunes, but it involves no perversity or ingratitude. But after having known, to reject or forget him is such a horrible and mad crime as to be scarcely credible, for he is the origin and source of all good and just, as mankind could not be freed from slavery but by the sacrifice of Christ, so neither can it be preserved but by his power." End of quote. When a people who have grasped the truth of the divine plan turns against our Lord by leaving him out of account and by passing over in silence the rights of the head of the mystical body, it commits apostasy and gives birth to the most frightful disorder. Having rejected the dependence of mankind on the sacred humanity of Jesus, man must necessarily put himself and his own natural life in the place of God. Now, it is precisely in this that rationalism consists, and this is exactly what we find in the Declaration of the Rights of Man of 1789. We behold, on the one hand, social apostasy and the rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other, the substitution of man for God, or the worship of humanity. The preamble of this infamous document runs as follows, quote, "The representatives of the French people met together in a national assembly, considering that the ignorance, forgetfulness, or contempt of the rights of man are the sole causes of public misfortunes and corruptions of governments, have decided to set forth in a solemn declaration the natural, inalienable, and sacred rights of man so that this declaration, being ever before the eye of all the members of society, may unceasingly remind them of their rights and duties. Consequently, the National Assembly recognizes and declares, in the presence and under the auspices of the Supreme Being, the following rights of the man and the citizen. Article 1. Men are born free and equal in rights and continue so. Social distinctions can be founded only on public utility. Article 3. The source of all sovereignty resides essentially in the nation. No society, no individual, can exercise an authority which does not emanate from it expressly. Article 4. Liberty is the power of doing what we will, so long as it does not injure another. The only limits of each man's natural rights are such as secure the same rights to others. These limits are determinable only by law. Article 6. The law is the expression of the general will. Article 10. No man can be molested for his opinions, even for his religious opinions, provided their manifestation does not trouble the public order established by law. Article 11. The free communication of thoughts and opinions is one of the most precious of the rights of man. Therefore, every citizen is allowed freedom of speech, of writing, and of printing, but will have to answer for any abuse of that liberty in cases determined by law. End of quote.